And as always, welcome. This morning, we are going to begin our, as I have been announcing, the theme that I am going to be dealing with throughout this particular year, dealing with the teachings of Jesus, examining some of the things that Jesus taught throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of course. This is by no means a simple study. And by no means is this going to be an exhaustive study of everything that Jesus taught, because I scheduled it for a year, but you know me, so we will see how this goes. But hopefully we will benefit greatly as we talk about what we are going to be dealing with throughout this particular year. As I said, this is a very extensive topic where we will only partially deal with. I sometimes call studies like this a detailed survey of his teachings. In other words, it's not superficial, because it's going to be long enough that we're going to be able to cover some details. But by no means can we address every single sermon that Jesus preached, every parable he taught, and so on and so forth. But we'll do our best to get a good variety of all these different types of things. In this series, we're not going to be so much looking at the life that he lived. I actually did that a few years ago and went and looked this up. It was 2011, I believe, that we presented an entire year's worth of lessons dealing with the life of Jesus. Well, obviously we will be touching on some of the things that he did as we establish the background for various things that he taught. But we're not going to be going through his life from the time of his birth through his death and resurrection. But we're focusing on what he taught us. And it is my hope in this study that it's going to help us to better appreciate what he said. It's going to help us to better appreciate how he is our Savior. And as we strive to imitate him and learn from him what it means to be a disciple of Christ. That's really the goal that we are going to be engaged in this particular year. Now, someone might ask, why study the teachings of Jesus? And that kind of, to a Christian, that ought to be obvious. You know, he's our Savior. When we consider who Jesus is, when we consider that he is Emmanuel, that is, when he was on this earth, Emmanuel, God with us, the fact that he is God, described as the Son of God, the fact that he is our Savior, we learn why we ought to study about him. John, in his gospel, in which he is presenting further evidence as to why you should consider Jesus as physically having come to this earth and all that he did for us, made this point about Jesus in verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. It is through Jesus that we have a better understanding of who God is. And therein is our hope. In John 14 and in verse number 9, we find here that this is on the night that Jesus would be betrayed, and we have this discourse that's actually four chapters long, and Jesus is being asked by Philip, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. And Jesus makes this statement here in verse 9. He says, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? And they kind of understood what he was saying after that. Jesus is saying, I am God. I am God come down to this earth so that you can better understand God. And you don't have an excuse anymore to say, God, you don't understand, among other things. But the point is when we know who Jesus is, obviously that is why we ought to study the life of Jesus. And when we study the life of Jesus, or when we study the teachings of Jesus, one thing that becomes clear is that we need him. And that's another reason to study about him. Over in Acts chapter 4 and in verse number 12, Peter there, you know, declares concerning Jesus where he says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is our only hope of salvation. So we need to study who he is. As John was beginning to bring his gospel to its conclusion in John chapter 20, the last couple of verses of John chapter 20, we read there, truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. We can have life through him. That's the point. And that's why we ought to study Jesus. Furthermore, when we study about Jesus, it doesn't take a whole lot to learn that we are called upon to be disciples. And when you understand what it means to be a disciple, a disciple is by definition a learner, but he's a learner of a teacher, of a specific teacher. So he becomes a student following the teachers of whoever his master is. That's the idea of what a disciple actually is. And Jesus in Matthew 28, and at least in the New King James Version, as he's giving Matthew's account of the Great Commission, he says, "Go, you know, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." King James uses the word teach. Go teach all nations. How do you make a disciple? You teach. You teach what I have taught. And that was really the emphasis that Jesus made. And you can go over to John chapters 13 through 15 where he gives, or 16, and he gives instructions to his apostles. You know, what I've taught is what I want you to teach others. And I know that you don't remember it all, and a helper is going to help you remember. But you need to learn these things, and you need to teach the things that I have been teaching you. And it's important to understand that we are disciples of Jesus, and that doesn't just simply mean that we're studying about what He said, just so that we're better informed. Yeah, we want to do that, but we also want to do what He tells us to do. We want to follow His example. We want to imitate Him. It's like Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I live in Him. He lives in me. It's no longer about me, it's about Him." Well, if it's no longer about me and it's about Him, and Him living in me, how are we going to learn to live in Him and Him live in me? We need to study what He tells us to do. We need to listen to the things that He has given us instructions about. And also, we study His teaching because His teachings, they're at the very foundation of the rest of the New Testament. And you could add to that the Old Testament. You know, as it has been said, you know, every book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is about the coming of Jesus in one way or another. And it points us in one direction or another dealing with those types of things. So I want us to understand when we study the teachings of Jesus, it helps us to gain a better appreciation of now that the church is here, now that the kingdom is here, and when Paul writes to the Romans and when he writes to the Galatian churches and to the Ephesians and all those letters and so on, and when Peter writes, James writes, and all the different letters and so on, we can learn that it comes back to Jesus. It's based on what Jesus taught. The whole New Testament is based on that. Over in 2 John and in verse number 9, and I will tell you right now that this is a passage that is abused by some, even brethren. In 2 John and in verse number 9, John there says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God." He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now, I know there are some out there who will advocate the doctrine of Christ is what Jesus taught. And to that I answer, well, it included that. But it's also who Jesus was. And it's what Jesus taught to teach. He taught His apostles, "What you teach, you're teaching what I've taught you." That's why when we look at the rest of the New Testament, we're seeing the teachings of Jesus, and it applies to us just as much as what Jesus Himself taught. But we're not going to go that far in our study this year because we don't have time. We're just going to deal with what Jesus actually taught. But we need to do it with an understanding that that's what the Bible, the whole Bible is about. And let's just look at one example, and you'll notice I've got three up here. Let's look at Romans. Romans chapter 1. And all of these are in the introductions. You find that most of the epistles basically introduce Jesus early on. And in Romans 1 and in verse 1 you read here, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. That's what he says in the book of Romans. You also find that in Hebrews, the Hebrew writer, John and 1 John. And again, you go through many of the letters. Let me introduce Jesus to you, what Jesus taught, what Jesus wants you to do. So we can see that in understanding why take some time to study the teachings of Jesus. And finally, we want to do this because by studying what and how Jesus taught, we can learn how to teach. We can learn what to say to others as well. Remember, we're told in Scripture to imitate Him. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. So Paul was teaching. And it wasn't about imitating Him, it was about imitating Christ. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 1, Paul says, be imitators of God. We're to imitate them. And Jesus taught. And that's kind of the whole point. If you want to learn how to be an effective teacher, and incidentally that's what this lesson is going to be about today. If you want to be an effective teacher with others, or you want to increase your potential to win someone, you look at how Jesus taught. And you follow how He taught. You follow His teachings and learn from His teachings, and you'll learn how to teach others. We've emphasized in times past how we're all called upon to teach in one way or another, and I realize not everybody can teach publicly, and I'm almost convinced not everybody has the ability to sit down and across the table from somebody and engage in a several lesson study without creating more problems than they prevent. But you can still teach by example. You can still say, this is why I believe what I believe. 1 Peter 3:15, you can give a reason for the hope that is in you. You can lead them to somebody to teach them. The Hebrew writer, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you're not. You can learn enough so that you can answer somebody when they give some type of an objection. So, I mean, there's things that we can all do, and we all, to some degree, need to be able to teach. And so let's learn from Jesus what to do. Let's learn the attitudes that are associated with those types of things. So that's why study is teaching. Now, what are we going to talk about this year? Well, we're going to begin where Jesus began, or at least the teachings began. And that's in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. We're going to spend a few months dealing with the Sermon on the Mount. And again, if you read through those three chapters, that's a year there if you want it. But I mean, it's that extensive. But let's start with that. And then following that, what we want to do is we want to look at some of the parables that Jesus taught. In Matthew chapter 13, we have seven of the parables that Jesus taught concerning the kingdom. And we'll look at some of those as well as a number of other parables that Jesus taught and make some applications to our lives in that. Then we want to talk about some of the conversations that Jesus had as He engaged with various individuals and sometimes in groups and sometimes in small groups and sometimes one-on-one where Jesus was willing to talk to other people. What did He say? How did He say it? What was His point as He dealt with different situations? We want to talk about how Jesus defended who He was and some of the ways that He dealt with His critics and some of the ways that He dealt with those who were actually His enemies and skeptics And those who were just doubters and those that had questions, how did he deal with those things? And how did he deal with his disciples? How did he defend himself? And we'll spend time in the Gospel of John dealing with some of the what they call discourses. You know, John gives more lengthy discussions that Jesus has with people, and there's great material in there. Then after that, we want to deal with some subjects. Various subjects that Jesus addressed and what those subjects mean where we are concerned. So that's what we're going to deal with as we go through this particular year. Now, on to the lesson for today. today, what we want to talk about just for a few moments is Jesus. And Jesus has often been described as the master teacher. And that's kind of an interesting description when you think about it, because I will tell you right now that there is no greater pattern about how to teach than that of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When you consider who He was, being the Son of God, knowing why He was here, when you consider how in every situation that Jesus was in, He was able to teach exactly what needed to be taught. He knew the right thing to say. He knew when to say it. He knew how to say it. He knew what not to say. And various things associated with that. There were so many attempts to entrap Jesus. It didn't work because of who Jesus was. So yes, He's the master teacher when we think about those things. And in one source that I was looking at, it is noted that within the Gospels, Jesus is referred to as a teacher about 29 times. And about 90 times throughout the four Gospels, teaching is attributed to Jesus, whether it be in a noun form as a teacher or whether it be in a verb form saying that He taught. About 90 times in the Gospel it talks about teaching in one form or another where Jesus is concerned. And so we ask the question, what does it mean that He was a master teacher? And we realize that He was recognized as a teacher. He was called rabbi over and over, and you can go to the Gospel of John and from very early on when He started dealing with those who would become His disciples and so on. In verse number 38, two disciples who heard Jesus, they followed Jesus, and Jesus asked, "What do you seek?" And they said to Him, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" So here we have two disciples that are following Jesus. And what do they call Him? They call Him rabbi. And that was the Jewish word for a teacher. Someone who you learn from their teachings and you follow after them. He was referred to as master over in Luke chapter 8 and in verse number 24. Luke chapter 8 and in verse number 24, and we read in that particular text there, it makes the point, "And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.'" This is Jesus when He's sleeping in the bottom of the boat and there's a great storm. They call Him Master, acknowledging that He's a master teacher among other things, and that He is their Lord. And that's another way to deal with the idea of being a master. Over in Luke chapter 17 and in verse number 13, we read there where the point is made, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And this is when a group of 10 lepers meet Jesus as He is traveling, and they plead with Him to heal them of their leprosy. They call Him a master. "Have mercy on us." And of course, He's referred to as teacher. For example, in Matthew chapter 8 and in verse number 19, Matthew chapter 8 and in verse number 19, we read there in that particular text, it says, "When Jesus saw the great multitudes about Him, He gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to Him, 'Teacher, I will follow You wherever You go.'" Jesus is recognized as a teacher, and this is where Jesus deals with His motives and so on. Over in Matthew chapter 19 and in verse number 16, we have the rich young ruler, where he makes the point, "Teacher, what must I do that I may have eternal life?" and so on. You can go on and on. Even His enemies, would call him teacher. Over in Matthew 22 and in verse number 16, you find in this particular text here that they sent to Jesus their disciples with the Herodians saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men." And they're not saying that you don't care about people. They're saying you don't care what people say about you. You're going to teach them what they need to hear. But what's interesting about that is, based on the context, we know they weren't very sincere. You know, it was more of an effort to entrap Jesus on that occasion. But they acknowledge, you're a teacher, and people are following you as a teacher. Jesus even called himself a teacher. For example, in Matthew chapter 10, since we're in Matthew, Matthew chapter 10 and in verse number 25, where he's warning his apostles as he is about to send them out. He makes the point that a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? So Jesus warning them, you know, I'm your teacher. And if they reject me as your teacher, don't be surprised when they reject you too. So you see, these are different ways that Jesus is described from a standpoint of being a teacher. Now, what was it that made Jesus a master teacher? Well, the bottom line is he knew how to teach. And let's think about some of the qualities that helped Jesus as a teacher and what made him a master teacher. You know, number one is he knew people. And while because he was deity, I realize he knew people better than any one of us know people. But the fact is he knew people. You know, over there in John chapter 2 and 25, it talks about he knew what was in man. You know, he knew the motives. He knew what was behind what they were asking and so on. It would be nice for us to be that way. I think to a limited degree we can somewhat know what people are up to, but it takes a little more effort than with Jesus. I mean, we have to have a little more evidence, you know. But if we're observant, we sometimes can, you know when to be cautious and those types of things in dealing with individuals. Jesus knew their hearts. You know, Jesus, when Nathanael is introduced to him in John chapter 1 and verse 47, you know, "Behold, one in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael asks, "How'd you know that?" You know, Jesus, "I saw you when you were under the tree." You know, and Nathanael knows exactly who he's talking to when that takes place. Jesus knew people. And I'm going to tell you right now, the better we get to know people, the better we're going to be at teaching others. And that's why it's helpful to get to know people as you try to teach them. And until you get to know somebody very well, you have to be fairly cautious. Once you get to know them, you know what direction to go with those individuals. How many of us jump to conclusions about something that somebody does or something that they say because we don't really know them? So learn from Jesus. What made him so effective is he knew people. But he also knew his subject. He knew what he was talking about. And he knew it perfectly. And it's seen in the way that he answered individuals and the way that they would come to him and keep intending to entrap him. And there were many occasions where he turned it around and entrapped them. That's a master teacher. Somebody that knew how to answer in such a way that they could not refute what he was saying. Furthermore, he knew how to teach. He knew how to use illustrations. That's what the parables are about. Have to help people better understand difficult concepts. He engaged in and taught relevant historical facts. You know, when he talked about the Old Testament, when he referred to prophecies in the Old Testament, when he referred to events that took place in the Old Testament, he was properly applying what happened on those occasions. And he was able to use those things to teach other individuals. And yes, he used Scripture, which we'll talk about a little more in a few moments. He knew how to talk about life. And that's what many of the parables were about. You know, things that the people could relate to. That's how you help somebody understand a difficult subject. So Jesus, he knew how to teach. You know, in every circumstance that he was in. And one of the most effective things you can do in dealing with people is you can ask thoughtful questions. Make somebody think. You know, make somebody answer. Isn't that one of the points that we've made in our apologetics class? You know, dealing with those who question the existence of God and start talking about evolution and so on. You know, when they say something, if they say something that's misleading, make them clarify it. Ask a thought-provoking question. What do you mean by evolution? Put them on the spot, if you will, and make them think about the arguments that they're making and the questions that they're asking and the statements that they're making. Jesus did that. And he would often ask thought-provoking questions. You know, a lawyer comes to him, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus asks, well, why don't you tell me? And he answers it, and of course the lawyer, you know, that leads to the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Love your neighbors yourself. Okay, Jesus said, you go do that. And he said, well, who is my neighbor? And by the way, that was a thought-provoking question. And Jesus dealt with that, didn't he? He said, let me ask you who is a good neighbor. Let me give you a story. You know, and he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. That's what made Jesus so effective as a teacher. He knew how to teach. And he kept at it too. It wasn't just a superficial, every once in a while he was willing to teach. You go over to Matthew chapter 4 toward the beginning of his work, and in verse number 23, you read there that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. He was busy. He was continually teaching his message. It wasn't a one-time thing. You know, we ought to be familiar with that with our political process. You know, it's kind of interesting that somebody that's running for president, you know, when do they declare that they're running? About a year and a half to 2 years out. And they spend 1 to 2 years campaigning all over the country trying to convince people, I'm the one you need to vote for. You know, Jesus didn't just teach one time. He taught over and over. And he went from place to place to place, and he taught. And he taught what was needed, when it was needed, where it was needed, how it was needed. And to who it was needed. Did I leave anything else? Oh yeah, why? You know, who, what, where, when, why? He taught them all! And so that's what makes him such a master teacher. So what are some of the qualities that are associated with the teaching of Jesus? How did he teach? Well, first of all, he taught both publicly and privately. Whatever circumstance was necessary, he was willing to teach in that circumstance. He also taught with authority. That's one of the interesting things at the conclusion of what we call the Sermon on the Mount over here in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 7, where it says, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And the point is the scribes, they go, oh, well, the old law says this. And they would go on from there, and quite often they would twist it to make it say what they wanted it to say. You know, Jesus, he taught with authority. Oh, you've heard what it was said, but I say to you, and he takes it further. And I'm convinced, I know not everybody agrees with this, but I'm convinced in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus wasn't just talking about what the law of Moses actually said. He was looking forward to the kingdom that he was coming to establish. He actually deals with that in the Sermon on the Mount. I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. And not one jot or one tittle is going to pass away till it's all done. And that's like verses chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. We'll talk about it. His purpose. In his teaching and so on. So that was Jesus. Over in John chapter 7 and in verse number 46, there was an occasion when Jesus was in Jerusalem, and And the council, they send the temple guard to arrest Jesus, to apprehend him and bring him back to them. And in John chapter 7 and in verse number 46, they come back. And guess who's not with them? Jesus isn't with them. And then they ask the question, you know, why haven't you brought him here? And I want you to notice their statement, verse 46. The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this. No one ever spoke like this man. No one taught like him. How could we take him? It's kind of interesting to think about that when you look at him. You know, he taught with authority. He was different. He declared himself to be the Son of God, and others wouldn't dare do that under the old law. To call yourself God or call people to follow after you and worship you, it was blasphemy, and it carried the death penalty. But what was different about Jesus is while he was making those claims, he backed it up. And he showed them why and how he was deity. In John 5, verses 31 through 47, we're not going to read that whole thing, but we'll preach a sermon on it at some point. Because it's a great lesson. I call it the fourfold witness of Jesus. Where he sets out to establish, this is why you ought to follow me. And it's not because of just me. You know, he makes the point, look at the works that I did. Look at what John the Baptist testified about me. Look at what God, through Scripture, has said about me. And he goes into the idea of prophecies. And he says, even Moses. Moses spoke about me. So he established his authority. He established that God was with him. And that's why he would say things like, before Abraham was, I am. He knew exactly who he was talking to, and he knew what they would do as a result of that. Over there in Matthew 9, a paralytic is lowered down through the roof, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. To which the religious leaders respond, this man blasphemes. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus deals with it. So that you will know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Want to heal them. So he does. So that's the authority with which Jesus taught. But when he taught, he taught to be understood. You know, Jesus used wisdom. He was very wise in his teaching. And someone might say, well, doesn't it say concerning the parables that they were spoken to hide the message? Well, to some. But in reality, and we'll deal with that when we get to the parables, you know, we'll talk about why Jesus talked in parables. But, you know, he was asked, you know, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus gives this quote about hard hearts. And stop ears. And there's those that don't want to hear. And the message is hidden from them. But it's not because they couldn't receive the message. It's because they wouldn't receive the message. It's because they refused to even consider it. But at the same time, the same message that hardened the hearts of his critics melted the hearts of his disciples and caused his disciples to more and better understand him and his kingdom. Which is why he taught in parables. Illustrations that if you just think about what it means, you'll have a better grasp of the kingdom of God, a spiritual realm that you can't really understand. So he taught to be understood. Even though some were, you know, unwilling to come to him, you know, that over in John 5, and this is that text that we talked about, the four witnesses, you search the Scriptures. You know, for in them you think to have eternal life. And they testify about me. But you're not willing to come. That's the point that Jesus made. So there was understanding there. If you just follow what was going on. He knew what to say, how to say it. In Matthew 10 and verse 16, he tells his disciples, you know, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You be wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. He taught his disciples, you be cautious as you're teaching others. And I think a great passage that talks about the teachings of Jesus, you know, compared to the religious leaders over in Mark chapter 12 and verse number 37, where you read in that particular passage there, it says, and the common people heard him gladly. He taught to be understood. But in addition to that, Jesus also taught with love and with compassion. You don't have a greater example of a proper attitude that ought to be associated with teaching. How many people teach the truth, but they drive people away because of the way that they say it? Because of the attitude that they have, and they're uncaring. They just want to win the debate, not the soul. And how many people are just harsh and cruel as they handle the truth? That wasn't Jesus. Jesus cared. And that's demonstrated all throughout. In Mark 9 and verse 36, Mark 15, 32 and other places, it talks about how He had compassion. He had compassion for the people, which is why He did many of the things that He did. That's why He fed the 5,000 out in the middle of nowhere. He had compassion for them. The rich young ruler, in Mark's account of the rich young ruler, Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, after the ruler, you know, talks about, you know, I've kept all the commands from my youth, it says Jesus loved him and told him, you lack one thing. Go sell everything you have. You love your money too much. Your money is getting in your way of following God. Give it up. But it says that he loved him. You know, even in those occasions where he would forgive sins, what's that about? It's about compassion. As Jesus is willing to give the broken, forgive the broken, those who are maimed and those who are lame and those who have all kinds of problems, sometimes those whose society looks down upon, Jesus loved them. You have this woman that comes and washes the feet of Jesus with her tears. And dries his feet with her hair. Jesus is in the house of a Pharisee named Simon. Joshua talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Man, if he were a prophet, he would know who this woman was. And Jesus, you know, he teaches a life lesson there. But he says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Jesus was willing to forgive sins. That shows his compassion as he taught other individuals. In addition to that, you know, he taught continually. He even loved his enemies. And he taught us to love our enemies. You know, I'm just reminded of how in Luke 19, this is one of three passages in the Gospels that say Jesus wept. And it talks about how he wept over Jerusalem because he knew what was in store. Here was a city that was, it had disciples in there. Many of them were his disciples, but there were many there that they just hated him. They wanted to destroy him because they didn't like him, because they didn't like what he said, because he exposed their hypocrisy. Destroy him at any cost. Jesus didn't say, you know what? You're going to deserve what's coming to you. He wept, knowing what was in store for the city of Jerusalem. That's compassion. It's an attitude that we can learn from him on that. He also taught consistently. Jesus didn't contradict himself. You know, he didn't teach one thing one day and something totally opposite of that another day. Contradictory lesson. It was the same message from beginning to end. In addition to that, he lived what he taught. You know, you read over in Acts chapter 1. You notice how many of these passages that introduce Jesus are found in the introductory statements to various letters and so on? In Acts chapter 1, we read there about Jesus in verses 1 and 2. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen. He did and he taught. And that's the point. My former account, he's talking about Luke, the Gospel of Luke. The things Jesus did and he taught. There was a consistency there in his life. In addition to that, he taught personally. Well, one of the wonderful things about Jesus is, you know, he didn't think he was too good to take time to talk to a single individual. You know, there are some of these speakers today that you invite them to come to your lecture or whatever. Oh, yeah, I'll do it for $500,000. You know, we're talking about the famous ones. Yeah, Jesus would talk to thousands on an occasion. But at the same time, he would take the time to talk to one person. He would take the time to go to the house of Zacchaeus, a tax collector despised by everybody else, and just talk to him. He took the time to talk to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, a woman very likely despised by others in her, looked down upon by others in her city and so on, and definitely looked down upon by Jews. He took the time to talk to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, a Pharisee who was one of his disciples, even though he was a secret disciple at that time. Jesus took the time, no matter the size of the group, whether it be his apostles or small group of disciples, or 5,000 on one occasion, and that's 5,000 men, then you add the rest of them. He'd teach every opportunity that he had to do those things. In addition to that, he used Scripture. It's one of the incredible things about him. And he properly used Scripture. You know, he applied the old law the way that it was intended. And he used the old law to show he was who he claimed to be. He explained the purpose of the old law in Matthew 5, 17 through 20. That's what I mentioned a few moments ago. And again in John 5 and verse 39 that we talked about a few moments ago. You search the Scriptures, they testify about me. And I'll show you if you want to see it. That's his point. So he was willing to use Scripture. He used Scripture as he dealt with temptation. Of course, we know that from, you know, Matthew 4. The, it is written as the way he answered Satan as he tempted him in the flesh, in the eye, and in the pride of life. In addition to that, we find that Jesus taught courageously. He didn't avoid controversy. He didn't avoid unpleasant subjects. When they needed to be presented, he was willing to expose the corrupt. When they needed to be presented, he would call people what they were. He would call the scribes Pharisees, and he'd call them hypocrites and snakes. That's Matthew 23. A brood of vipers. He was willing to tell his disciples, on the other hand, what they needed to hear. You know, when he goes to Peter and he warns Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Peter didn't want to hear that. He argued with Jesus. It would have been easy for you. Oh, you know, okay, whatever. No, he explained it to him. And he said, but when you're restored. You know, he knew who Judas was. When he tells him, what you do, do quickly. The rich young ruler, he knew what he needed. And you can just go on and on and on with examples of this. Friends, this is why Jesus was the master teacher. And this is why we need to follow him. Let me give two concluding thoughts and the lesson is yours. Number one, even though Jesus was the master teacher, and when you know who he, God with us, here you have deity come down to earth. He knew perfectly what to say at the right time in the right place. And even Jesus couldn't convert everybody. Sometimes he told the truth and it made enemies. What's that say about us? Are you going to convert everybody? Are you going to teach everybody? You wish. Maybe even some of your closest loved ones, they just don't want to hear it. All you can do is present it. It's up to them to receive it. And leave it to God to deal with them. But the other thing that we can get from this is when we study the teachings of Jesus, it's one thing to know what Jesus said, but it's a totally different thing to do it. My goal this year as we study the teaching of Jesus is for us to apply what He says to our own lives, to examine ourselves and say, how does this apply to me and will I do it? Remember Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's our goal as we go through this year. And so with that, I commend this lesson to you. And I just ask simply, are you willing to listen to Jesus? Jesus, as he was about to ascend to heaven, gave what is called the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Mark 16, verse 15. In verse 16, he said what they need to do. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Maybe there is somebody here needs to become a disciple of Jesus. You know what you need to do. If there's some way that we can help you with that, we stand ready. Or if you are a child of God and you have fallen away or you're not following Him the way that you ought to, repent of whatever your sin is and ask God to forgive you, and He will. 1 John 1 and verse 9. If there is some way that we can help you with your struggles, if there is something that you need to make known, we stand ready to help you. So whatever your need is, if you're subject to the invitation, come forward as we stand.